Ah, yes! Let's go! It's Friday, and man, we have a lot. We have so much today. There's certain days that you just get stoked. I want to talk to you about this in just a second. Well, let's intro everything. We have to keep introing. Hell, bro. Started. Getting sounds. All right, it's 7.07 a.m., and you're like, Lund! You usually can't make it at 8. You told us 8. You're promoting 8. 8 a.m. Pacific. It's a Friday. It's the first week of the shows. I have something that I got to get to at 8. When you forget your anniversary, that's what happens, which I did a couple of days ago. So, my wife won or 1,000. So, we're early. So, if you're thrown off, we're going to post this later, obviously. We're going to put it on the podcast so you can still watch, listen, and the such. I am John Lund, formerly of KNBR. And if you're new to the program, thank you. Make sure that you are watching, listening. We have the John Lund Unleashed pod as well. Plus, we'll post things all throughout the day. We do live chats in the evening. We'll start with the guests next week, everything else. But if you look to the right, the chalkboard as you see right there, you can follow along with the show and exactly what's going on. So that's always a good thing. Oh, man, I just lost the chat. What the heck is going on here? I need the chat. Let me see. I screwed the chat up. Let's hopefully we can get the chat back. But anyway, point being today that I want to make sure that I get the chat back because it's kind of screwing me up right now and I don't know what I'm doing. You know, let me, I'm going to stop for a second. I'm going to just keep going. But, what I want is I want the chat back. I'm going to mess with something here for a minute and be unprofessional. There we go. I'm going to re-put the chat back up there because yesterday we kind of had a bit of an issue with the chat and I couldn't get it going. So there we go. There's the live chat. All right. I got it back up. Hey, what's going on? All right, good. I can see the chat again. All right. Here's the deal, with what we're going to be doing today. There's a ton of good stuff going on today, on the show. And I'm just stoked because right there, it says intro update, which I'm going to do in just a second. We'll get you that. We'll do the intro as I always do. You got JK's 33, which we'll get into trade machine because, look, I look at players as a stock. JK, you're going to disagree with that, and that's okay. Like I've said many times on the show, JK's stock is at a high point, 33 points. Didn't have Curry, didn't have Draymond Green, beat the Rockets at home last night. Trade. We'll discuss that in a second. Trade machine Cam Balls right there. That's Dan Campbell's balls. And we saw it last year in the NFC Championship game. It's all great. And I think 49ers fans are probably waking up this morning thinking, Kyle needs to do more of that. Kyle needs to be ballsy like that. Well, we'll discuss whether Dan Campbell's decision was the right decision last night on Thursday Night Football. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm going to play it for you. And just because, again, I go through philosophies all the time. Here is my philosophy on this, this, and this. Maybe you care, maybe you don't. But because something works doesn't mean it was the right decision. Because something doesn't work doesn't mean it's the wrong decision in sports. So we'll get into that conversation as well. Kyle, a bear. Mike Florio started this, and then my good friend Colin Cowherd jumped on it yesterday because they are playing the Bears this weekend. So we're going to get into that conversation. Golden at bat. Good. I've been wanting to talk about this all week long, and I haven't. And I got a bigger picture thought on this thing. It's not just the golden at bat. It's sports in general and having to put frosting on everything. So we're going to get to that as well. Chapman is shortstop. There's a discussion that Matt Chapman could move to shortstop. Maybe one of my favorite things that is happening today is arsonversary. And you know what I'm talking about. And John Heyman blocked me. It's actually arsonversary today. So we will explain what that means, and we'll have some fun with it. And the Caboose Pistol today is on fire. If you are a regular listener or even an occasional listener to any of my radio shows that I've done over the years, but specifically in the Bay Area, started first at 95.7 and then at KNBR with Pop, where we ended every show with the Caboose. And I got to be honest with you, the Caboose is absolutely on fire. So stay to the end today. All right, as far as the intro is concerned, remember, all you got to do is subscribe, tell your friends. We're getting close to 1,000, and this is only our fourth show. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I mean that. I'm not just saying it. It's really cool to be able to connect to listeners, viewers, etc. This is such a cool forum because I'm able to directly talk to people and, you know, get back to you. And if you hit me up with a message, whether it be on Twitter/X at John Lund Radio. Or if you hit me right now, as I can see in the chat, Killa03, good morning. Ernesto Ron, good morning. Yes, I will have special guests on my show starting on Monday. Best show. Thank you. I've known Jeff a long time. I'm away. Good job, man. I appreciate it. East Coast red and gold. Florio is a clown. I would agree with you on that. So we'll get into that. Thank you for getting up on the East Coast and hanging out. What is it, like 10:13 there? So you can actually start drinking. I'm just cranking the coffee right now, and it is outstanding. I usually go Bailey's on a Friday, but I didn't because I actually have to drive right after the show. So that's unfortunate. But anyway, we got a ton to get going. And again, real quick, at John Lund Radio on Twitter. There's a little bit of confusion on the YouTube page because I did Locked On Sports for about a year when I was at KNBR, and then we started to get hot and actually push that thing, and then they're like, yeah, you can't do that anymore, which is fine. And then, but what I'm doing is I'm going to get control of that page today. I've been talking to them and everything. You got to negotiate everything, so they're going to give that back so that I can delete it, and there's going to be no confusion, but this is the right page to subscribe to. So when you tell your friends or whatever, or you hate me and you tell your hated enemies and then you get a laugh at them, make sure that it is this page that you are subscribing to. I'm on Instagram, Threads, all those different places. So wherever you are, you're going to be able to get news on the show. The best way, of course, is to just sign up here, subscribe here, and then you won't miss anything like when I go live earlier than I'm supposed to. We got a podcast at John Lund Unleashed Pod, so that's on Apple and Spotify and everywhere. So if you miss the podcast or you can't sit here and listen to all of it, maybe you work from home, maybe you got to jump in the car or something, I got the podcast as well, so you can listen to that going in, and then right after the show I post the podcast of the show. So every way possible that you can get a hold of me, that's the way to do it. So again, good morning, happy Friday, and let's start getting to some things, man, because that's enough of that. Let's start getting to some things. And again, on the right side of the page, you can see there what we're going to do, what we're going to go over, all those kind of things. So there, let's start here. The big local story, there's a ton of national stories, like I said, but the big local story last night clearly is Jonathan Kuminga. There's the Warriors with the post. Jonathan Kuminga appreciation post, if you're watching on YouTube. I'm already stumbling because it's a little bit earlier, but Jonathan Kuminga last night, 33 points, a career high. Here's what it looked and sounded like. All right, so there you go. There's a little Jonathan Kuminga highlights, NBC Sports Bay Area on the call on those highlights, and awesome. Good job, Jonathan Kuminga. Great. Now, I look at this a little bit differently than you two, and again, if you're new to me or new to the show, I'm not like most of America. I love feedback, so if you want to call me an idiot for saying what I'm about to say about Jonathan Kuminga and you think he's a building block, that is 100% fine by me. So whether it be in the chat, whether it be at John Lund Radio, tell me where I'm wrong, tell me where I'm stupid, and believe me, I'll get back to you. And it's not like you can't change my mind. With most people, it's like, nope, 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 nope. One of the things that's great about, again, this forum, but what I always have loved about sports radio before recent events, so that all Americans, you just can't have a debate about anything with anybody without anybody getting really pissed off. You can't have a normal conversation. The really beginnings of sports radio was, and how I always looked at it was, it's like we're sitting in a bar, right? And we're just hanging out. And we're BSing about sports like you do with your friends. That's the point of what I'm trying to get across here. So some days I get it right, some days I don't. But I'm not preaching to you. I don't think I know everything. Hell, I don't think I know anything. But I've been doing this a long time. And so what I try to do is just present things to you. And you can agree, disagree. What's the fun in just saying, hey, you're right. God, man, are you right? Damn, you're right again. I know you disagree on certain things. As far as Kuminga is concerned, he scored 33 last night. I couldn't trade Jonathan Kuminga fast enough this morning. I'd call everybody in the league. Did you see what Kuminga did last night? Man, that kid's 22 years old. He's going to be a monster. What do you say? What do you say? What do you say? One thing I know about Jonathan Kuminga, given my insights and people I know, he's kind of a pain in the ass to coach. He's a little bit arrogant. Again, I'm not taking personal shots at Jonathan Kuminga. These are just the things that people around the team, it's pretty well known. He's not actually, he's not necessarily a favorite. Let's just put it that way. Is he athletic? Does he have a huge upside? Like, I'm not denying any of that stuff. He's improved his three-point shot to an extent. He worked on it on the offseason. His upside is tremendous. And it's kind of like the conversation we've had for the last few days. It's like, oh, everybody is so scared. Not fans, but like general managers, owners, everything like that. They just freak out when anybody shows any kind of promises. Like, we can never trade that guy. He's untouchable. A couple of days ago, I got into this tangent about Brandon Podziemski and how a guy like Podziemski is untouchable. No, he's not. He's a great glue piece. He's not untouchable. If you're making him untouchable, you're making everybody untouchable. Can't trade Moody. Can't trade Wiggins. Can't trade. Like, I hate that. So we don't need to go back down that road because we've plowed that path a couple of times this week. But as far as Kuminga is concerned, to me, players are stocks. Up, down, whatever. He's not going to have higher value than when he scores 33 without Steph Curry and Draymond Green. I don't think he's done it consistently enough with them on the court. As strange as this sounds, it's really easy when there's nobody else on the court. Somebody's got to score. Somebody's got to grab rebounds. Somebody's got to get assists. Even if you get blown out by 30, somebody's got to do something. So even if you put five scrubs on the court, somebody's going to do something well. So Kuminga didn't have Steph Curry last night. Somebody had to step up from a scoring standpoint, and it was Jonathan Kuminga scoring 33, a career high. Awesome. I'm not saying it wasn't great. Way to go. And if they trade him, maybe they're going to look stupid and have egg on their face. But again, is Jonathan Kuminga right now at a level where he can consistently, that's the key word, consistently help Steph Curry win a championship and be a real number two? I say no. So what do you have to do? You have to get somebody who's like 27, 28 in the prime of their career who can help Steph Curry now, because that's your goal. And I continually say this, and I don't want to sound preachy, but I continually say this. Kuminga could be great, but it's a timing issue with Steph Curry. You got to be great now. If you're a professional athlete in any sport, you can do greatness every once in a while. You can do greatness, I don't know, NBA games. How many a week? Four? You can do greatness three out of four. I mean, that's consistency, four out of four. That's what Steph does. A player like Kuminga so far is like once a week, maybe twice a week, maybe no times a week. Guys can do it. And so we overreact as a fan base when we see it once. Oh, my God. The way that I look at that is, oh, because I saw all these articles this morning. Oh, Kuminga's on the swing. This is the Kuminga. I haven't seen consistently see like that. What it actually does with me is I'm the opposite. It pisses me off. Because it's like, I saw that you could do that. Hey, Kuminga, I saw you could do that. Now you have to do it consistently, and he hasn't shown that ability, and that's what we want. Again, I'm speaking for the fan base, and when I do that, I get in trouble. But a fan base, the worst thing for a fan is inconsistency. Like, if you're crummy, if you're bad, if you're mediocre, if you're middle of the road, if you're pretty good, if you're great, now I know what to expect from you, and I can... As a coaching staff, as a fan, like we'll plug you in as that, and then we just know. But when I see you score 33 and then disappear, it's like, dude, and that's kind of Kuminga to me. So I'm tongue in cheek in this whole thing. They're not going to trade him today. We're not near the trade deadline. But I'm going to throw one other thing up here in front of you, and again, you're probably going to vomit. That's okay. It's early. You'll recover. But you see right there, that's called the NBA trade machine, and we love this as a fan base, don't you? Don't you love projecting trades? Don't you love talking trades? Don't you like being a fantasy GM? I know I do. And it's very sports radio-ish of me to do this, or sports podcast-ish, whatever, of me to do this. So there's a trade right there, and it's got Zion Williamson in it and more. And then, you got to give up Wiggins and Kuminga and to make the salaries work, Gary GP2s. Or maybe you'd have to put in Looney for GP2 if you don't like that. You could do the same exact trade with Brandon Ingram, if you prefer. So Ingram's 27, 28. Zion is still very, very young, but he's been hurt a lot, and he's a big pain in the ass. And I think that, and he won't get his weight down, but man, if he could get on the right team, and I think the Warriors are that team, it's advantageous to get with a really good organization. You see it all the time. A guy kind of doesn't live up to his potential, then he goes to a great organization, and then all of a sudden he is what he is. You know, he loses, which Zion needs to do, 20, 25 pounds, and then all of a sudden, wow, he's a monster. There's nobody like Zion in the league, so you might puke at that, and that's okay. But my point is that one of those guys, whether it be Zion or Brandon Ingram, and again, if you're listening on the podcast, you know what I'm talking about. I'm flashing up a couple of trade scenarios, which we as fans love. Oh, yeah, let's go. Let's start talking names. We don't like to hear just about trades. We like to hear names, right? We want to hear names. What's going on? What's going on? What name are you going to throw out there? So I'm just throwing that out as one hypothetical because everybody's throwing out the name Brandon Ingram. I'd prefer to have Zion because, again, I think that the Warriors have the type of organization where he could actually reach his immense potential. And now I don't think this is much with Brandon Ingram, although he's better than Kuminga and he's only 27 years old. And he matches up better with Steph Curry if the goal is to win a championship, which it is in the short term. And he's much more consistent. Remember, he's a former second overall pick of the draft, went in the Anthony Davis trade to New Orleans, and he's a consistent player. A little skinny and not exactly perfect, but in Zion's case, now you're swinging for the fences, and when Steph Curry leaves, you potentially have a building block. I'm not convinced Kuminga's a building block. That's all. Not down, not mad. I'm just saying 33 points on a given night without Steph Curry when somebody's got to score pisses me off because I want to see Kuminga do that with Curry on the floor. And I want to see it if there's four games in a week. I want to see it three times. That's not too much to ask. When people say he's got this immense potential, I'd never trade him. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about once a week or twice a week. That's no good. If there's four games, you need to do it three to four times. That's what great players do. They don't do it once and then disappear for a while and score 16, 17. Steph doesn't have time to wait. He's hurt again. Draymond's hurt again. You got to realize this isn't going to happen for much longer. And the clock is ticking. Do they have the patience? Is the timing, it's more this, is the timing going to match up with Jonathan Kuminga, that he's going to be a true number two to Steph Curry, a Robin to Curry's Batman, in time to help win a championship? I don't see it. So when I see 33 points, I go, get on the phone, Mike Dunleavy. Send the tape out to everybody you know. Look at this dominant performance. Give me Zion. Anyway, give me your thoughts on that. It was awesome last night. I'm not trying to say he wasn't awesome, but I want to see the consistency from Jonathan Kuminga that I just don't see. So give me your thoughts on that. I don't want Zion. He's always hurt. You're right. You're right, Killa. You're right. I'm trying to swing for the fences here. And again, you don't have to agree with me when I say stupid stuff. Only trade for Zion if he lives with Steph and gets his food from Aisha. Good call there. It does drive you crazy. And again, if you know me at all, I go on tangents on these things. So I'll get back to all this stuff because the Dan Campbell thing, which we're going to talk about next, is really fascinating. So let's discuss. Plus, this Kyle thing on the Bears is unbelievable. So stay with me because let's talk more about that. But, I mean, you're right. These guys have all this money. Like, this goes back to, like, Pablo Sandoval, right? And Pablo would go into the post-game spread, and he'd crush, like, a full pizza. Then he'd go home and eat more. And he had a chef. It was his brother or cousin or something like that. And it was like, what are you doing? Like, when everybody posts these videos of guys working out, look at this professional athlete working out. That's what he's supposed to do. His body is a temple. Mine is not a temple. Look at this thing. It's a mess. But that's not my job. But the job of an athlete, his body is a temple. And Zion weighs 286 pounds. That's what he's listed at. So he's probably over 300. What I'm saying is if you could ever get him into an organization that had their shit together, then I think that he could really, he's got potential to be as good as I think, at least offensively. I don't know about it defensively. He hasn't efforted that way. But he has the potential to be one of the most unstoppable players in the league, and he has the upside potential to me to be a number one player on a team that can win a championship. Potential, which is a horrible word. People love potential in sports. Potential, potential, potential. It just means you're not there yet, and you're really frustrating. So, again, I would take a chance on him more than I would Kuminga. But, you can disagree. Great game last night. Not saying it wasn't. I'm simply saying that it pisses me off when guys are that good. That's all. Albert says Zion literally will weigh down the team. You're right. Absolutely, you're right. I'm not saying he wouldn't. And Ingram, to me, is a step below. But still, if you're talking about timing for Steph Curry, which the stated goal of the organization is, win it for Steph. We got to win one more for Steph. Steph is hurt. Draymond's hurt. You're not starting to see it. You're seeing this thing going, wait a minute. This isn't going to last too much longer. Steph is not a robot that comes out of a locker. It's not going to go forever. And when it does go, it usually just goes. It's not slow. It's too early, John. I know. It is very early. If you are just tuning in, and then we're going to go to Campbell's here in a second. But if you're just tuning in, thank you so much for joining me. And joining us, It Takes a Village, and the John Lund Unleashed podcast here on YouTube. And if you're listening on the podcast as well, which I'll post a little bit later, please make sure you subscribe and you join. Hit me up, not only in the chat right here, which I really enjoy, but also at John Lund Radio. That's where I'm posting everything. So I'm on Twitter mostly. So right now I've got my Twitter right in front of me. So if you want to hit me up and ask me a question or say you're a jackass or whatever, totally cool. And then on Instagram, Threads, everywhere else. I guess I'm going to succumb and do a Facebook page. One of my friends that knows how to maximize and all that stuff and be seen. I haven't been on Facebook in years, but he said, oh, you got to do this. You got to do this. So I'll go back onto there as well if that's somewhere you like to be. So wherever it is, I'll jump on it. But again, subscribe. We're almost to 1,000 in just 4 shows, so I'm really excited about it. And just to let you know, yes, as everyone is asking, we're going to do a bunch of stuff with a lot of people that you listen to for years on the radio. We're going to have a lot of fun with this thing. I'm on every Monday night with Larry Kruger on the Krug Show, so make sure you tune in. And we'll have a bunch of guests starting next week. As I've said all week long, I sound like a broken record, but I just wanted to reconnect with listeners, say hello, blab a little bit, let you know a little bit more of my style when I don't have a co-host. And, you know, that's all. And then in terms of, I guess everybody always wants to know, I'm not angry with KNBR. I'm not bitter. I've been doing radio in many markets for 28 years, and I never got, as they say, laid off. I don't even know what that term means. I got fired. I didn't get laid off. I'm not going back. I got fired, which is fine. I walked on this radio live wire for 28 years, never had it happen. 15 years in the Bay Area, had a lot of success, and it happens to everybody, especially in today's economy. So I'm not bitter or angry if you're tuning in for that angle to say, well, what does he think? I'm not pissed. Cool. Everything went well, and now I have an opportunity to talk to you every single day, so I'm stoked about it. Anyway, there's that speech. All right, let's get to Campbell's. Dan Campbell last night, if you're not on Prime and you're like, I'm not watching that, man. I'm not subscribing to something else. That was a great game last night. One of the best, and it lived up to the hype, as many in the NFL do. So Packers and Lions last night. I'm going to play this and set up the scenario. The Lions, it's 31-31. They're easily in field goal range for Jake Bates, and there's about 43 seconds on the clock. Now, I'm going to make this relate back to Kyle Shanahan in just a second because, again, if you're we're a consistent or even occasional listener to my show on KNBR, as these analytics have grown and Kyle Shanahan, who's hip and cool and wears Yeezys, and everybody on the team is like, Kyle's the coolest, man. But he's got an old-school mentality when it comes to analytics and going forward on fourth down and all those kind of things, and I think it's been to his detriment. As great as Kyle Shanahan is, and I'm not on the fire Kyle, I'm not on the trade Kyle to the Bears, which I'll get to in a second, I'm not on any of that. Kyle's a great coach. Doesn't mean he's had a great year, because he hasn't. And I'll get to something in a second that Nick Sorensen said yesterday that blew my friggin' mind. He's been so bad. So we'll get into all those as we're kind of transitioning into some NFL, but let me play some Dan Campbell, and you remember the NFC Championship game last year. Live by the fourth down, go, and the aggressiveness, and die by it as well. He died by it in the NFC Championship game. He lived by it last night. So 43 seconds left in the game. Packers and Lions tied at 31 at Ford Field. They just got stopped on a third and short. All they got to do is bring out their kicker, Jake Bates, kicks a field goal. Jordan Love jumps on the field. And you got to stop them, which, again, there's going to be like 40 seconds left on the clock. And we know the NFL these days. Now, the Packers didn't have any timeouts either. But they could have easily gone down the field in a few passes. We've seen it time and time again, tied the game. Now you're in overtime. But 99% of the time, I really think this, 99% of the time, any coach is going to take the field goal, but not Dan Campbell. So 31-31, 43 seconds left. The Lions had just gotten stopped by the Packers on a third down, and it's fourth and short, easy field goal range, I think like 38 yarders, so they're at like the 21 of the Packers, and Dan Campbell says, to hell with that. If you missed it, here it is. All right, so you've seen enough. There you go. Dan Campbell goes for it. And when Jared Goff falls down, I don't know if you watch this thing live or whatever, when Jared Goff falls down, I was like, oh, because I was thinking they're not making this thing, but David Montgomery's like a bulldozer. And he's really difficult to stop on short yardages, I'm sure you well know. So Jared Goff falls down. They still get the first down. They run the clock down. Jake Bates comes out, kicks a field goal, and they steal the time away from the Packers, and they win 34-31. Look, it's a ballsy move. So before we get to Kyle Shanahan and the way he would react in a situation like that, let me just finish the conversation on Dan Campbell. So this was the if you're watching on YouTube, this was in the New York Post this morning. Dan Campbell's gutsy Lions fourth down call proved everyone wrong, including Kirk Herbstreit. I've been critical of Kirk Herbstreit. We don't need to go down that road, and I don't need to go ADD on Herbstreit and Al Michaels. And you know my thought. I love talking about broadcasters. But because a call works or does not work does not mean it was the right or wrong answer. That was way too confusing for a Friday this early. Point is, that was a stupid-ass move by Dan Campbell, but it worked. If you look at analytics, and I looked at this after the game, so they had a 63% chance to win, they had a 67% chance to win if they would have just kicked the field goal with 42 seconds left. They had a 68% chance to win if they got the first down there, which I would have thought that would have been higher, but that's what it was. And then obviously after they got the first down, it was a 99.9, but, and those things change throughout a game. I'm talking about 68% prior to going for it on fourth down. If he slips right there and they don't get it, and they love Dan Campbell in Detroit. I worked in Detroit and I could go on a tangent. I was there when they went 0-16. I was there for the Millen Man March. I still can't believe in the Lions because the Ford still own them. And it's just, there's a term in Detroit called the Lions gonna lion. The Lion's going to lion. And a friend of mine texted me last night. You know who you are, Maz, if you're watching or if you're going to watch this later. Maz, my old producer, who's a great guy, texted me and goes, yeah, suck it. Suck it, Lund. And I was like, I texted him back. I go, dude, Lions are going to lion. I said, Dan Campbell in the playoffs is going to try that crap again, and it's going to blow up in his face. If Dan Campbell plays it even kind of conservatively in the NFC Championship game last year, the Lions go to the Super Bowl. But he gave the 49ers opportunities. Now, having said all those things, all right, one of my philosophies on Kyle Shanahan is he's such a brilliant offensive mind. Don't tell me he's not. He is. Not having a great year, but it, for a lot of different reasons that we've discussed, defensive coordinator, special teams coordinator should both be gone, his play calling, a lot of different things that we've discussed. But at his heart, even though Kyle's cool and wears Yeezys and everybody connects to him and everybody loves him and he wears the cool hats, he can pull it off at his age and all that kind of stuff, cool guy, he is at heart a very conservative guy. He grew up, obviously, his dad, Mike Shanahan, he grew up and his dad drilled into him. This is the way it goes. So Kyle thinks old school. He wants to punch in the face. They want to run the ball. They don't, you know, for as innovative as he is and as an offensive coordinator and the motions and all the different things that he does, he is, at heart, a conservative coach, maybe the most conservative coach in the NFL, especially offensively. And I always scratch my head, and I'm like, what the hell? Because for a guy as smart as he is, you would think fourth down calls would be easier, that they would have a higher percentage. And you know, you can look at the numbers. I haven't looked at them exactly this year, but traditionally they go for it the least amount, they make it the least amount in terms of fourth down calls. And I don't want him to be Dan Campbell necessarily. And when Baltimore was going for it all the time, whether that was last year or the year before, I forget. I just want him to be a little bit more aggressive because, to be honest, if he's a little bit more aggressive, they've already got a Super Bowl ring, like last year in Las Vegas. And this is the problem I had last year, which was it wasn't not going for it on fourth down. It's thinking two downs. Patrick Mahomes can't come back on the field. That just has to be your mentality. Patrick Mahomes can't come back on the field and beat us. So we got to set up a third down so that we have a shorter fourth down, and Jake Moody's not kicking field goals. He's scoring touchdowns. Therefore, we're winning games. As good as Kyle, as great as Kyle has been, the conservative nature in which he runs a game drives me bananas. So of all the things that we talk about, the defensive coordinator should have been fired. The special teams coordinator should have been fired a long time ago. His play calling, a lot of things in the offseason, all those kind of things. He's not having a great year. great coach not having a great year. But the conservative nature that he has is it drives you crazy as a fan because he's a great offensive mind. He's not a defensive guy that's thinking to himself, I just want to minimize problems. I just want to minimize. They should be better on fourth down. They should go for it for two-point conversions more. Again, I'm not asking you to be Dan Campbell because mark my words as of today, December 6th, 2024, Dan Campbell's going to have a day in which he tries the shit that he tried last night, and it's going to blow up in his face, and I'm going to text my friend Tom Mazway in Detroit and say, Lion's going to Lion! I just can't get over it. They're so good that I just can't get over it because I worked in that market for so long, and they sucked. Millen Man March, Rod Marinelli 0-16. I was there doing pre-half and post. I was on like in the stadium in those concourses, and people would just scream and yell and throw stuff. You're like, seriously? All right, I'm embellishing, but still, you get the idea. Roland, love the show. Yeah, Campbells. Campbells. People like that. Kyle and I are best friends now. Anyway, is that the fake Derek Tacky? Is that the fake Derek? I'm sorry. It's the Arsonversary. We'll get to that in a second. Again, I'm just looking at the text and making sure. Again, if you want to interact with the show, I love it, man. Questions, comments, stories, anything that is on your mind. And again, you don't have to agree with me. That's not this kind of show. If you disagree, it's cool. We're not going to get mad and angry and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, Campbells. I'm just saying. Doesn't mean it was the right call. It worked. Doesn't mean it was the right call. Let me play this, and then we got to get to Kyle. We have so much to get to today. Thanks for joining us. John Lund Unleashed on YouTube and the podcast as well. Follow along at John Lund Radio. And again, if you want to interact with me, let me reset my stuff. I'm live on Twitter right now, Twitter/X, so you can talk to me. One thing that happened that was so strange last night, don't know if you saw this in the Packers-Lions game, there was a fan giving LaFleur, Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Packers, as you well know. There's a fan on the field in Detroit. And again, I work there, so I want to talk to you about this. I've been on numerous NFL fields all the time. You walk around before the game. I don't know where they have fans there, especially in Detroit, but here's what happened last night. And again, this is off NFL Network. You'll see Maurice Jones-Drew. I think it's Rhett Lewis with him, NFL Network. Watch this. This happened before the game between the Packers and the Lions last night. All right, one of the stranger things, you know, in sports all the time we say, well, I haven't seen that before. So if you're at a 49ers game and you're on the sidelines, and a lot of times I would do the pregame show, which is in a studio at Levi's Stadium, and then after that I would walk onto the field and try to get a feel and see people. Like, I'll give you a great example. When the Jets were playing the 49ers in week number one, I wanted to see what Aaron Rodgers looked like in warmups. He's coming off an Achilles, so after I do the pregame show, I got an hour before I got to be up in the booth and in the media booth. And so I walk to the Jets sidelines. He's warming up and I'm just kind of glancing to see what I can see. And he kind of looked like he was limping and gimping and all that kind of stuff. And I thought to myself, he's not back. He's not ready. And he didn't play a great game. Now, maybe I'm wrong and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, you're just trying to get a feel for things. There's an area, same thing with the Raiders. Some family members, the preseason game between the Niners and the Raiders, they met me in Vegas. And I got him onto the field before the game, and there's an area. It's roped off. And there's multi on both sides. There's, depending on, you know, how important you are. If you have more money, obviously you can go more places. But there is no scenario at a 49ers game or a Raiders game or any game I've ever seen in the NFL in which you're not behind some sort of a barrier. And I don't mean a physical barrier. It might even be just a small rope that you could easily get under. But the security everywhere is standing there, and you got to have either a wristband or some sort of a pass or something. And it says what zone you should be in. generally speaking, that's how the NFL does it. So I have no idea how a fan was just sauntering around on the field. Hey, it's me, Joe Fan, and I'm just standing on the field minutes before the game at Ford Field. Woohoo! I think I'm going to go give LeFleur some grief. And LeFleur said after the game, the guy's F-bombing him and talking about his family. And it's like, and LeFleur was, after the game, was like, is there any security whatsoever in this building? Just strange, man. I was like, how do you get that kind of access? I mean, the guy must have had some money or something like that, but it was just weird, man. So anyway, that's everything from last night. So Cam Balls, on the field, fans, 34-31, going for it on fourth down. Give me your thoughts on it, any of the things from last night that we talked about. I'd like Kyle to be more aggressive, but I don't need him to be Dan Campbell aggressive. And mark my words, I think Dan Campbell's going to do something stupid to keep the Lions out of the Super Bowl. There's a happy medium. There's Kyle's conservatism. There's Dan Campbell's wildness. There's a middle. I mean, there's a middle. There's a middle. I just want Kyle to get to the middle. That's all. Now, speaking of Kyle, this is nuts. So, as somebody pointed out in the chat just a minute ago, or a few minutes ago, Mike Florio doesn't know shit about the 49ers, and he's always throwing stuff out. And I like Florio. He's done a great job. From a lawyer to Pro Football Talk to NBC. I mean, I'm not knocking the guy. He's done a great job. Got opinions on a lot of things. But I've said this about certain people. If you're wanting news on the 49ers, insight on the 49ers, what's really happening with the 49ers, I was fortunate enough to be working with Tim Ryan and Greg Papa for a long time, and I knew a lot of stuff that on KNBR I just couldn't say. I mean, one of the most fun things about going down on Thursday and doing that football show with Tim and Greg was that I'd walk in because Tim was going to every practice, and you could really get the insight of what's going on. It's not that I wanted to tell people. It wasn't that. I'm an insider. I'm Adam Schefter. I wasn't trying to be that. It was just Tim would tell you stuff so you didn't look like a jackass on the air when you had an opinion on something. So it was great. I don't know where I was going with that, but I do. There's certain people who know things about organizations nationally, locally, whatever. Mike Florio is not an insider on the 49ers. He was constantly, you know, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, they might do this, they might do that. Certain guys nationally, locally, they have better insight into organizations. The 49ers are a pretty tight organization where a lot of the leaks come from, and you know this, but I'll just remind you, they come from agents. So if you have a certain player within an organization, then that player tells the agent, that's how they become insiders on a certain organization, because they know an agent who has a prominent player, and that prominent player blabs to his agent, and then the agent gets it out there. That's how it works. So Florio doesn't have a good insider within the 49ers. He might have him somewhere else. He does have good national contacts, obviously, but within the 49ers, he's always throwing shit against the wall that never sticks. It's just, that's just what it is. So this originated, this story, from Florio suggesting it. Again, there's a big difference in today's media between something that is confirmed or suggested. A lot of suggested stuff just comes from someone. This guy put together a list. This guy thinks that. And we don't, it's such a blurred line now. It used to be that you know, two sources, you know, it's very buttoned up, these kind of things. A lot of it is, a guy throws an opinion out, then Twitter picks it up or some kind of social media, and you're not sure whether it's a confirmed story or somebody actually has a real source, or it's just jackassery and somebody throws out an opinion. It's hard. So anyway, when it comes to Florio, this was just his opinion, man, Papa. It was just his opinion, man, on what he thinks should happen. So it's not confirmed. He doesn't have a source. He doesn't anything like that. So then Colin Coward, good friend of mine, not name dropping, he's just a good friend of mine. I was texting with him yesterday and asking him about this, and he picked it up, and so it gained steam, and you know how the news cycle works, and they're playing the Bears this weekend, so people actually brought up the idea of Kyle Shanahan being traded to this weekend's opponent, the Bears. Here's what it sounded like. Okay, so again, that there's nothing confirmed on that. There's no insider. There's no Schefter. There's no, you know, whomever that you trust. There's no Mayoko. There's no Barrows. There's no Mike Silver. There's no, nobody's saying that that's a thing. Nobody's saying that's a thing. So when you hear something like that, you, again, as a fan, it's hard to decipher. Is that a thing? Are the Bears and the Niners talking about Kyle Shanahan going to the Bears? So I'm here to kind of, you know, cut through that stuff. But one thing he did say at the end of it intrigues me, and so I fall into the trap, which is Colin later said, three first-round picks. Now, you want to give me three first-round picks for Kyle Shanahan? I might have to take that call. But in terms of saying, you know, and everybody overreacts on this stuff. The Niners are down. They have tons of injuries. They had a wacky season. Everybody knows logically that knows the sport, from fans to insiders to whomever, that they got a lot of talent. And next year, if and when they get healthy, and it's a big if because they're getting older and more expensive. We know that stuff. We've talked about it a million times. But they should bounce back. And Kyle Shanahan, Jed York's not dumb. Jed York's not going to go, we're having an off season. Like, everybody talks about Kyle being fired. He's not getting fired. Who are you going to replace him with? That's what you have to ask yourself. Who, you know, everybody wants to fire. Who are you replacing him with? I don't know. I just want him fired. Well, that doesn't make it better. He's not getting fired. He's not getting traded to the Bears. He's their best asset. You understand that, right? Like, it's not Brock, it's not Warner, it's not Bosa, it's not any of these guys. You could package all of them together. Bosa and Purdy aren't worth Shanahan, I don't think. Yeah, maybe that's a bit much. You can disagree with me at John Lund Radio, and I'm going to read the chat here in a second after I'm done doing this Kyle thing, but he's not getting traded to the Bears, and there's no credible source saying he's getting traded to the Bears, and it would be generally stupid to trade him to the Bears. Kyle Shanahan has been a big part of what the 49ers have built, his vision. And again, I'm not saying he's perfect, and I keep saying this, he's had a bad year. But Kyle Shanahan's fingerprints are on everything here. And yeah, they're having a down year generally because of injuries and just the wacky season they've had with all the things that have gone around it. You know what's happened. I don't need to go over it with you. But Kyle Shanahan, it does everything. So he's kind of the overlord, overseer of everything. And I got news for you. Breaking news, they've had a lot of success. So putting, saying Kyle Shanahan's gone and then trying to bring someone in and then do this thing all over and I like these kind of players and we're going to change, that's a lot. And we know from like Jim Tomsula and Chip Kelly and all these different guys and the coaches before Harbaugh, after the era in which Montana and Young and all that kind of stuff, finding a quarterback is one thing. Finding a coach, Singletary and Nolan, and go on down the line. It's not easy finding a great coach. Oh, we'll just replace Kyle Shanahan. Great idea. Why does everyone run his offense? I don't know. It's probably pretty good. So he's not getting fired. He's not getting traded. Now, three first-round picks, I might take the call. What a contradiction by me. All right, this. This is back to Nick Sorensen real quick, and then we'll move off football, and we'll get to some baseball. And I got to get to the Caboose Pistol because it is awesome today. But I didn't know this. The last nine trips into the red zone, opposing teams are 9-for-9. That's a quote yesterday from the press conference. Nick Sorensen, the defensive coordinator of the 49ers, but he's not going to be the defensive coordinator much longer, I think, till the end of the season, and that should be a stretch. I would bring Robert Saleh in today. You want the DC position again? I know he's in Green Bay as a consultant. You want the job here full-time again? Please say yes. 9-for-9 red zone opportunities are against the 49ers defense. And that alone should make Kyle Shanahan say bye. And then Brian Schneider, the special teams coordinator and everything else. But you and I have been talking over the last few days and after the last few months at KNBR and just how bad this defense has become and the defensive line and what they need to do in the offseason and all these kind of things. But like, the real downfall other than injuries, impress your friends with this today when you go to work or whatever you do or whenever you're talking 49ers, put this little note in there. The 49ers, the real downfall besides injuries, if you want to boil it down to one thing, is the key downs and the key areas on the field. So offensively and defensively, they're one of the worst red zone offenses and, as you just saw in that graphic, defenses. So that's the key thing. Kicking field goals offensively and not keeping teams out of the end zone defensively is a major problem. And then third down's the same way. So red, by the way, red zone, you know, because we've talked so much about when they get McCaffrey back, they're going to be great in the red zone. Not so much. So offensively, they were terrible in the red zone this year, which is in stark contrast from where they were last year. So offensively, they're bad in the red zone, one of the worst. And defensively in the red zone, they're one of the worst. And then on third downs, defensively, they're one of the worst. And third downs, offensively, they're okay, but not great. So that's what it really boils down to. We can sit here and talk about injuries, and we have, and weirdness of the season, and we have. And those are absolutely, as I always say, explanations, not excuses on the season. Those are explanations on why it's so bad. But if we want to quit talking about that and actually look onto the field for the major problem, number one is red zone offense and defense and third down offense and defense. And if I was Kyle Shanahan, and he knows that graphic clearly because he was asked, Nick Sorensen was asked about it, I would sit down in my office with him and say, how can I continue to have you be the defensive coordinator when the last nine trips for a team in our red zone have been touchdowns? What are we doing? What are you doing? Can't have it. Anyway, again, give me your thoughts before I move on to a little bit of baseball and the arsonversary, which it might make you sick. Let me hit up to the text line again. And again, remember, it is John Lund Unleashed, Barry of Sports Talk with me, John Lund, formerly of KNBR, at John Lund Radio on Twitter. Please make sure that you are subscribing, telling your friends, and we got the podcast as well of the same name, so find it. It's on anywhere you find your podcast, Apple, Spotify, all those kind of things. And real quick, there's a little bit of confusion, which I'm taking care of. I worked for the Locked On Podcast Network a couple of years ago and was doing a thing called John Lund Unleashed, and they're going to give back control of that YouTube channel so I can delete it, so this will be the only place. So when you are subscribing, make sure you're subscribing to the right channel and there's no confusion and everything else, and that's happening with the podcast as well. I'm well aware of it, and thank you for reminding me of it, but that's going to be rectified today. So let's see. Hi, Jacob. The guys have not bought into Sorensen. The play reflects it, no doubt. The DC is in over his head. I don't know that for a fact, but yeah, it sure seems like it. Let's see. Yeah, exactly, Jacob. Ask the Raiders how the first Gruden run went. Gruden's was terrible because then they faced him in the Super Bowl, and he's like, I know everything you're going to do. So that was not good. That was not good. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. All right, really quickly, let's get to some baseball stuff. Don't go anywhere. Let's get to some baseball stuff because this is really interesting, and it dovetails on something we talked about yesterday on the podcast and YouTube show, so go back to that. Matt Chapman as a shortstop? There's rumors, and again, Matt Chapman said when he got signed, if you didn't know the first time, not being re-signed, but he's re-signed now, but I don't mean to confuse you, that he'd play shortstop, he'd play wherever he wanted. If you don't know this story, Nolan Arenado and Matt Chapman were on the same college team. Was it Long Beach State, the Dirtbags or whatever? And he played short. Arenado played third. And so Chapman's played shortstop. It's just that Chapman is such a good third baseman. I don't want Chapman to play shortstop. I want Willy Adames to play shortstop. Now, I do know, and I've said this before, that it's going to cost, I don't know, a couple $100 million to get Willy Adames. You're going to have to overpay to get Willy Adames to come to this ballpark. He's still young. I think he's 27 years old, and he wants to put up numbers so that he can get another contract. And that's why pitchers won't come here because they know that it's numbers. It's all about numbers. It's all about stats. It's all about all that stuff. So, Willy Adames hits 30 and knocks in over 100 for the Brewers. He's not going to do that here. He might hit 20 and knock in 80. Well, he does that for a few years. He's not going to get as much money. So you've got to overpay for Willy Adames to say, look, I'm going to take a hit on my next contract. You've got to pay me for that. Plus, you're in California at 13.3% state income tax. Nah, I don't like it. So I don't love the idea of Chapman at shortstop only because Chapman's the best third baseman there is. I don't want him to move him to shortstop. I want to keep him at third, and I want to get a shortstop. And it's not Ha-Seong Kim, not in my mind. He's coming off an injury. He sounds like the perfect Giant, doesn't he? Hit about 11 home runs, has major injuries, isn't going to be able to start the season on time, has been okay, not great since he came over. I like him. But because Bob Melvin's connection and all those kind of things, everybody goes, oh, he's definitely coming. I'd go for Willy Adames. And Ha-Seong Kim's going to be hurt. That just sounds like a Giant to me. Oh, he's hurt. He's out of the lineup. Oh, he doesn't have much power. mean, if he had 11 home runs for the Padres and then I think it was 17 the year before, what's he going to hit in this park? 10? Woohoo! No thanks. But I could, again, you could love him. All right, as far now, this is one that we talk about all the time on the show on KNBR. We did this happy anniversary. Do you know that episode? It's the Flintstones and Joe Rockhead, and I think there was it. Correct me if I'm wrong on this. I think Wilma and Fred got into some kind of a fight, and then they came in and it was their anniversary. Maybe it wasn't, and then they came in there and they started singing "Happy Anniversary, Happy Anniversary." You know what I'm talking about? Maybe not. Anyway, it is Arsonversary Day. That is, oh, wait a minute. That's John Heyman blocking me. Here we go. It is Arsonversary today. 12/6/22. So what are we at? 2 years? God, it feels longer than that. Today is Friday, December 6, 2024. There is John Heyman, our friend. Just because you delete it doesn't mean it doesn't live on. So Aaron Judge reportedly headed to Giants 4:20 p.m. That's some irony. Maybe he meant to do it. 4:20 p.m., 12/6/22. Aaron Judge appears headed to Giants. Woohoo! Everybody's, I mean, I wasn't on the air at that point because I was going 10 to 2, but I remember everybody freaking out. And then moments later, he rescinded it. And then Webb came out and said, "Not cool, bro, not cool." But he has since blocked me, and I've told you this story, so I thought I would flash it in front of you because it's a fact. Because then last Arsonversary last year, I made fun of him because it was Arsonversary. So then I hit him up, and I go, "Hey, happy Arsonversary," and that's when he blocked me. So it's also the anniversary of him blocking me. So there you go, 12/6/22, Aaron Judge appears headed to the Giants, two-year Arsonversary. Why am I struggling with that? Arsonversary today, and there you go, fact. That's fact. That's, I just did that today. I don't know what that background is, by the way. What is that? It's annoying. But I wouldn't want to follow John Heyman anyway. But there he is blocking me because I made a joke 1 year ago today about his Arsonversary. I wished him a happy Arsonversary, and he conversely just blocked me right away. No big deal. It's not like I can't get baseball news somewhere. I'm okay. I've lived and survived being blocked by John Heyman, but that is a fact. He did block me. So there you go. If you're on the YouTube channel, you can see that. And finally, it is time for the Caboose Pistol, the sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol. Before we get to that, what are we talking about here on the chat? Let me look here. Hello, John. Rockin' New Era 84. Welcome. And again, I'm sorry I'm early today. If you're tuning in right now, I've already done an hour on the show. So if you missed it, I'm going to post the podcast later. I will repost the show so that you can watch it. I have an engagement around 8 o'clock. It's 8:01 right now, but we got to get through the Caboose Pistol because I promised you it. What kind of guy would I be? What kind of an a-hole would I be if I didn't give you the Caboose Pistol, especially on a Friday? So people are going to have to wait, and they might be late. It's not my fault. Let's see here. Jacob, if they trade Kyle, who are they going to get to take over this aging roster with a good, not great QB? That's what I'm saying. They're not trading Kyle Shanahan to the Bears. Three first-round picks, I would be tempted. And you know, it does bring up the fact, I don't mean to go on a tangent because I promised you the Caboose Pistol, but it does also bring up the conversation of how important a coach is. They're really important. Like, Belichick's going to take over a team next year that's going to be on the verge. He's not going to take over Jacksonville. He's going to take over a team that's on the verge. And it's going to make a huge difference. You know, there are certain coaches who are closer, certain coaches in every sport who are builders. There's, you know, they do all these different things. A coach is extremely important. As I said, Kyle's fingerprints are all over this team. They've had a ton of success. They're having a down year, and the national media is overreacting on them. They'll come back next year. I'm not saying they're going to be what they were, but they sure as hell aren't done with this era. I believe that. They're done for the season. They're not done with this era. And Kyle Shanahan, Andy Reid's the best coach in the league. You can't deny it. They keep winning. Now that he has Patrick Mahomes, it makes you look pretty good. But I'm going to say Andy Reid's the best coach. Mike Tomlin's up there. I mean, there's a handful of guys. But Kyle's in that mix. Admit it or not, Sean McVay is in that mix. I mean, there's a handful of really good coaches, and Kyle's right there. Plus, he makes a lot of personnel decisions. And here's the bottom line, and you know this. Jed York loves him. He ain't going anywhere. He's not. What else? Hey, Tacky, what's going on? All right, so let's get to the sweet, clean, family friend, the Caboose Pistol. You're going to love this one. Here's the first one. I got about three or four of these today. We all know that athletes get attractive wives, significant others, and all those kind of things. Players, But we've had this conversation a million times. Kickers are different, right? By the way, I think Jake Moody is 32nd in field goal accuracy. I'm not asking for flowers in terms of the thing that I've always said, which is you shouldn't take a kicker in the third round, and everyone wants to debate me. It was between the third and the fourth. He was a third-round pick. And I was in the room right next to the draft room. I've said this a million times. When Jake Moody was picked, and Kyle Shanahan flat-out said, he was, I don't think this is off the record, but it was off the air when he came to sit down with us as we did our draft coverage every year from the 49ers HQ, which they're awesome. They were so good to us. But and Kyle sat down and goes, I wanted a running back. And John Lynch sat down and went, well, you got to take a kicker sometimes, I guess. It wasn't like they were thrilled with the pick. But I figured this might happen, but I could be wrong. But anyway, athletes, real athletes, get beautiful women on their arm all the time. But there's a fill-in kicker now. Evan McPherson is hurt, and they have a fill-in kicker. And the Bengals are playing the Cowboys this weekend. And here's the fill-in kicker for the Bengals. He's dating a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader. Take a listen and a view. All right, so first and foremost, I mean, you have to be confident enough in your manhood, masculinity, whatever. You can say when a guy's a good-looking guy, guy's not a good-looking guy. I'm not an attractive man. I have a face for audio, face for radio. I did, by the way. I don't know if you noticed. I'm not wearing a hat today. I thought, you know, it was a Friday occasion. I would do my hair. My wife's all over me since I left KNBR. She's like, at home, you're just wearing a hat and hanging out and wearing sweats. Like, could you try a little? So I'm trying a little today. I actually took a shower this morning and everything else, even though I started the show early today. As I've said, I actually, you know, so you can give me some thoughts on that. I'm having a bad hair life, not a bad hair day, a bad hair life, but that's just, anyway, let's stay focused here. Not a great looking guy, decent looking guy, kicker, fill-in kicker, not making a ton of money. So I don't know what the background is on that. So he's going to be on one sideline with the Bengals. She's going to be, like he said, a couple of quarters. She's going to be on his sideline. It's going to be weird. But it's like, I understand, like, you know, you don't have to be the most attractive guy. You don't have to be the elephant man, but you don't have to be the most attractive guy to, if you're making a lot of money. I mean, you know, Jeff Bezos and, you know, all, you know, like, you don't have to be a great looking, you don't have to look like Clooney or Pitt if you got a lot of money. I understand that. And athletes get a lot of attractive women and everything, but it's like, you're a backup kicker. What? That one doesn't make any sense to me. But, again, I don't know the ways of the world. All right, a couple more on the Caboose Pistol today. Give your thoughts on that at John Lund Radio and on the chat right now here at John Lund Unleashed. Here's an interesting one. Mom sues toy company Mattel over porn website printed on Wicked Doll packaging. Mother says her daughter accessed a porn website through a link on the packaging of a Wicked doll and saw photographs that caused quote-unquote emotional distress. Now, look, I'm not saying that kids should be looking at porn. I'm not that morally corrupt, even though I'm on the scale, but I'm not that morally corrupt, am I? But I reported this story, I think, on KNBR earlier, and so what essentially happened was, and I don't know all this stuff, but the Wicked movie came out. You're probably more aware of it than me, but the Wicked movie came out, and what Mattel did was, on the packaging of the dolls, instead of wickedmovie.com, wickedmovie.com, they did wicked.com, and that's a porn site. Not that I knew that. Wink. Not that I knew that, but wicked.com is a porn site. Wickedmovie.com is what they should have had printed, so then they had to do a recall of all those things. Then they had to put, like, you know, I don't know, some sort of tape. I don't know what they did. But anyway, they recalled it, and then, you know, certain kids did go to wicked.com, and not all of them are suing. And we live in a litigious society, and I understand those kind of things. But come on, man. Let's just call her Little Jane. Like, Little Jane didn't have emotional distress. You know, she shouldn't be looking at porn. There's no question about it. Again, I'm not advocating it. Hey, check it out. But come on, you're suing. I don't know for how much. I don't know what the damages are. But if I was a judge in our country, it's like, man, the system is clogged with stuff. Really? Little Janie saw some porn. Get over it, man. Stop. Like, get out of here. Go. I'm suing you back. Like, I think it works this way in England, right? Where if, like, you bring some stupid jackass lawsuit against somebody, you pay. Like, just stop it. And that would stop that around here. Like, come on. You're just looking for a free payday. Look, we'd all love it, but that's stupid. Give me a break. This is weird. I need to ask your opinion on this because I saw this morning as we are doing a couple of Caboose stories before we jump out of here. And again, I got to run here in a minute. We started early today. If you missed it and you're pissed and you're like, Lun, because we have had a hell of a show, have we not? We've had a hell of a show. We just started after 7 a.m. today, and I won't do this normally. 8 a.m., 8 a.m., 8 a.m., but I had to do something today. So again, if you missed it, we'll repost the show. And if you're listening on the podcast, we'll have that up shortly as well, so you can enjoy it all. But do guys do this? Because this shocked me. Look at this story. It says, a piss poor excuse. Women are venting that men store water bottles at their bedside so they can urinate in them instead of getting up to use the bathroom. Disgusted hack has become a viral conversation online where women are coming together and sharing stories about the partners who use the concept and a lazy excuse to stay horizontal. So let me get this straight. Guys are really doing this? Like, guys put water bottles by their bed because they can't get out of bed in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? And guys who are older know this because it just happens. The older you get, the more you got to get up in the middle of the night. I've never, ever done this, let alone thought about it. Hey, honey, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just putting some bottles, some water bottles by the bed just so that I can pee into a bottle. Like, wouldn't that take more time in the middle of the night anyway? It's dark, so you have to turn on a light, and then you got to position the thing and all that kind of stuff. And then you, like, set it down. And then in the morning, you know, it's like that Dumb and Dumber thing, you know, where Jim Carrey's in the van and you accidentally drink it. Like, I keep water by my bedside. So it's like I would have that problem. Just get up and go. Like, is that really true? Guys don't do that. Guys don't put a bottle by the bed so they don't have to get up. Now, look, I lived in wintry conditions. I lived in Detroit, Pittsburgh. I've told you that a million times. It sucks to get out of bed, and it's cold. I got hardwood floors in my house. It's, you know, it's a little chilly, but we live in California. There's no way that's right. They're saying this has gone viral. The guys actually do this. I mean, we're pigs. There's no question about it. But I think I'm upscale. Like, I've never even thought about it, let alone did it. Is that true? Anyway, let me see. Anybody say anything about that? How big is their damn house? It's too far to get there. You're right. Blame the dog. Damn, I drank from the piss bottle again. Never heard of that. See? Okay. I'm normal. Because, you know, sometimes you don't know. I mean, especially when you're just, you know, you're at home now and you're like, ah, I'm just hanging out. What's going on? Let's see. Do I have anything else? I think that's it. I think that's it. The piss bottle thing threw me for a loop. All right, we went through a lot today. JK, Jonathan Kuminga, if you missed it and you're just to the show, going, what's up, Lund? The Trade Machine, I did a Zion thing. You're like, are you kidding me? Dan Campbell and his balls, Cam Balls is what I said about Dan Campbell. Because it worked doesn't mean it was the right decision. And mark my words, they're going to, I think they're going to do what they did in the NFC Championship game. You live by it, you die by it. Fan on the field, we went over. Kyle as a Bear, that's not happening. He's not getting traded there. Red Zone 9 for 9 this weekend as you're watching the Bears and the 49ers. And oh, by the way, I'm glad that we're recapping because it just popped into my head. This weekend, I'll kind of steal something from Matt Maiocco and do like 5 to watch. So I'll repost. It's not like it's Friday. I'm not going to post stuff over the weekend. At John Lund Radio, Twitter, Instagram, all that kind of stuff. Stay right here on the and subscribe to the YouTube page because I will be posting stuff throughout the weekend. I'll post a bunch of shorts this afternoon. All those kind of things. I did not get to the golden batter. The golden, I'm not going to say shower. The golden batter, I didn't get to. So I need to post a 3 minutes on that, which is just a quick hitter. So I'll do that. Let's see. Arsonversary. Do I need to do that one more time? Or are you just going to get pissed? It is Arsenversary. Arson Judge appears ahead of the Giants 12-6-22. Happy Arsenversary. And, of course, ironically enough, for the Bay Area, it was posted at 4:20 p.m. So you can see that. We went over that today. The kicker who got the cheerleader, the man suing, or the woman suing Mattel for Wicked because her little Janie saw some porn, and the piss bottle, which I just don't think is a thing. There you go. That's what the YouTube page should look like if you're going to subscribe. Thank you, thank you, thank you. At John Lund Unleashed Pod, at John Lund Unleashed Pod. Please subscribe and tell all your friends. And this is my Twitter page right there, so make sure you're following. And that's where I put most of this stuff on the show, like today, because we had to start the show early, at John Lund Radio. So make sure you're following those things, telling your friends, and checking back often. What else do we got going on today? John can make magic out of 3 minutes. Ask my, I know what you're doing there. I know what you're doing. Magic out of 3 minutes. I don't even think I last that long. Are you kidding? Time for a cig too. I've never been a smoker. Let's see. He said, there's a King of the Hell episode that will help your friend. Hit me up. Give me the link to it. I got to see this. Let's see. Bruh, what? What did I do? Is there a pencil near the toilet? Now you're going into something. Let's see, what else do I got? I guess that's it. All right, I know, I got to go. See, look, I just got interrupted. She's like, what are you doing? You're supposed to be done at 8 o'clock. All right, let's get it done. Really appreciate you hanging out for the week. That is episode number 4. And again, if you're just tuning in, you said 8 o'clock, and it's 8:14, and I'm finishing up. I've been on for over an hour, but got to make sure. Oops, wrong one. Got to make sure I'm getting out of here today. I had something on a Friday. But if you missed anything on the show, I will repost it shortly. I will post the podcast so you can listen driving in or driving back from work. Please subscribe. Please tell all your friends. I'm relying on you. And make sure that you're checking me out at John Lund Radio, where I will post everything. That is John Lund Unleashed for a Friday. Thank you. Have a tremendous weekend. I will post more, and we'll get you more on the 49ers as well. I'll be on with Larry Kruger on Monday, and next week we will start having the guests, the people you really want to hear from, so you don't have to look at my ugly face. Thanks to everybody for hanging out. John Lund Unleashed for Friday, December 6th. Happy Arsenversary. Have a great weekend.